It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Record Celtic podcast. Every week is a big week when it comes to Brendan Rodgers and his team, yet some are always bigger than others. And this week, with a game against Rangers looming and a title on the line, they don't get much bigger. So we've got the biggest guests on this week, Record Sports' Michael Gannon and Record Sports' Chris Sutton are both joining us to have a look ahead to the fun and games that are in store at Parkhead on Saturday. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yep. I'm very good, thanks. We're not the biggest guest. Henrik Larsson isn't on. You've got his bag carrier on instead.
I don't know. I'm quite large in general, Chris. But don't mean physically big.
Are we well, gents? Yeah.
Yes, very, very good. Looking forward to the game at the weekend. Actually, yeah. I'm glad we're going to get out of the way. I mean, that's decisive, isn't it? You know, Rangers need to win. That's it. If Rangers don't win, I think that we'd all agree that's, you know, take a miracle for Celtic not to win it from there.
Michael, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good fun, so to speak. It seems to be the word of the week, isn't it? Yeah, that's what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, a derby game, it's all on the line. Major pressure, major risk, reward. It's brilliant. This is what we're all signed up for. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, Celtic are in good shape going into the game. Before we get to the Saturday upcoming, it may be best to look back to the one that's just gone. And Michael, you were at Celtic Park for the victory over Hearts. What did you make of Celtic's performance?
For the 15, 20 minutes before half-time and after half-time, I think it's the best I've seen them all season. Right. I think it was really clicked into gear. It was as good as I've seen them for a while. And I've been getting some decent performances of late, but in bits and in pieces, I think it was a more complete performance. It was really quite impressive. I think attacking wise, it was terrific. Matt O'Reilly was just like, he looked every inch a kind of £25 million plus player. I mean, absolute Rolls Royce performance. Kyogo looked much more like him as himself, hanging that offside line and popping up a couple of great goals. I think more importantly, defensively, they looked a bit more tight. I think Celtic defensively have been a bit of a bomb scare this year. I mean, I was at Dundee the week before, and it was like every corner kick was causing chaos, panic measures and all that stuff. But they looked a bit more secure. They dealt with the Hart set pieces. I know Joe Hart had a great save at 1-0. But I think they looked a bit more resolute at the back, which I think that's going to be key this weekend, because Celtic, you can see another basketball match, couldn't you? The last game was 3 each, you know, and 7 each. You could see that happening again, I think, this weekend. But Celtic need to be tight and defensively. I think that's the most important thing. But they look in good shape. I think they're definitely a lot more secure at the moment, a lot more kind of spring in their step than Rangers, for sure, now.
What's the biggest thing to come out of the game, though? Callum McGregor looking somewhat back to his very best, where I have to say, you know, since he came on at Ibrox, he's just looked slightly off it. And we know that Hatate, the games that he's getting under his belt, Matt O'Reilly seems to be coming back to form. That midfield area is going to be key. And I think that's really good news for Celtic, because there's no doubt there. You know, I think we're all watching Callum McGregor and thinking in recent weeks that he's just off it. And of course, when he's at his very best, the Celtic midfield can really tick.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Sorry, Michael, go on.
I was going to say, there was a wee moment the weekend that really kind of summed it up. I mean, I think McGregor lost the ball, or attacked with the ball in the penalty box for Hearts, and chased back about 70 yards with Kenny Vargas and won a tackle. And the roar that ran the place was as loud as any of the goals. And it was almost like a message, like, right, he's back in business. Because that was, I mean, a 70-yard lung-busting sprint back to win the ball. It was like, right, he's back. This is the real Callum McGregor again. After a few weeks, I agree with Chris, not quite looked himself since he's come back from injury, but that was a real message that, yeah, he's back in business and right at the right time.
Chris, the last game between the teams was obviously a thrilling game, 3-3. When Celtic left at Ibrox that day, Brendan Rodgers he spoke at the game and he was very bullish about the situation that Celtic were in. But at that point, had Rangers won their game in hand, Celtic would still have been 2 points behind going into the fixture this weekend. The way things have transpired since has obviously put Celtic in a far stronger position. Could you have imagined that Celtic would be in such a strong position going into this game? Is that a surprise to you? And how does it change the dynamic for them on Saturday in terms of how they approach it?
I don't think anybody could have imagined Celtic being in that position. You know, Celtic played brilliantly in that first half at Ibrox, and then in the end, it would have felt a bit flat, I suspect, in the Celtic dressing room that they'd let that slip. The Matondo goal was, was absolutely brilliant, but you know, Ida had come on, and you know, Celtic had responded and thought they'd won it. Nobody could have seen Rangers dropping points, losing to Ross County. You could maybe see them, dropping points in one of the games, but then. You know, Rangers had it in the hands and they've let Celtic right back into it. And, you know, after Ross County drawing up at Dens Park and now, look, I mean, Rangers know what they have to do. They have to go to Celtic Park. They have to win the game because of the position that they are in. And in many ways, that may free them up a little bit. But Celtic at home, you'd have to say no away fans in. Celtic know basically they win the game and the title is theirs.
Chris, you played in them. You played in enough of them to know. Obviously, circumstances change depending on what game you went into, whether you were behind in the league or ahead in the league or whether it was neck and neck. Is it different, fundamentally different? Or when it gets to whistle time, is it exactly the same?
I think these games are pretty much all the same. I mean, I mean, both teams aren't going to need any extra motivation with what's at stake. It's actually about holding your nerve, playing your own game. And I know Brendan has been, you know, really bullish about Celtic in recent weeks. I still have reservations, but the fact of the matter is, this season Celtic have been patchy. I think Mick touched on the importance of the performance at the weekend. You know, Celtic, they need to play well in 90 whatever minutes every week, and they did that against Hearts, and that will give them great confidence going into this game and the remaining fixtures. But Rangers, the way that they play under Philip Clement, can cause Celtic problems. I think Rangers will be very direct in the way that they play. We know they like to utilise those the wide men and Dessers running in behind. And we suspect that Celtic, we know the way that they're going to play out from the back through the midfield. They'll have the confidence to do that. But there'll be large parts of the game where Celtic pen Rangers in and Rangers can be dangerous on that break. So, I mean, it's fascinating the way that the game is set up and very, very difficult to call because of that and because of the fact that Celtic have lacked that consistency. But as I say, I think the Hearts game would have done them the world of good.
Michael, you were in the stadium on last Saturday, and obviously probably that positional change in the table because of the Rangers slips has led to a buoyancy around Celtic Park, and it felt like a sort of unified atmosphere last Saturday, and it'll be more of the same again this Saturday. But do you feel that position in the league, there is more sort of bounce in it for the Celtic supporters, there's more anticipation, they really believe they can go and kill it off this weekend and that'll help the team?
There's definitely been a wee change in recent weeks in the crowd. Listen, this season's been a kind of very kind of angry, grumpy, kind of frustrated season for Celtic fans. When they started the year, some of them not that fussed about...
And some journalists.
Well, listen, unbiased observers was watching on, reporting what we see. But you can tell, but you know yourself, there was a wee atmosphere at the start with Brendan coming back. They drew against St Johnstone early, and they was booing and all that, and shuriking. A lot of frustration with the transfer
shuriking.
Market.
Shuriken?
Shuriken?
Is that Norfolk word? You had frustration over the transfer market in the summer and in January. You had Santa getting booed. Poor Santa getting a hard time. I mean, it was just a bit of a, you know, atmosphere was a wee bit kind of off, wasn't it? But it almost seems like in the last few weeks, it's almost like an atmosphere like, well, you know what, all that's gone, been and gone. Now there's the thick of the battle. There's a title race on. We'll park all that. Listen, it'll still be there in the background, no doubt. If anything goes wrong, it'll be there. But they seem to have parked it, and it was a more unified front at the weekend. A wee bit of a party atmosphere, which I think is a wee bit dangerous. But I don't know if it was a celebratory atmosphere or a kind of... I don't know.
I think it's relief, Mick, isn't it? It was relief from the fan base. Let's get it right. Going into the game against Hearts, Hearts have beaten Celtic twice. That felt pretty big, I do think. And I get everything you're saying, but you also mentioned at the end that can change pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And, you know, it certainly can do. I was at Ibrox the game on Sunday when they played Kilmarnock, and... Blimey, I mean, it was tense until Rangers got the lead, and then the third goal, and then you could feel that the stadium was actually not holding the breath at that stage. So we know how important it is for both sets of supporters, but you know, we know that if Rangers do get the noses in front, or you know, even they go a couple of goals up, then we know that the stadium can turn, so that will work both ways. What we do know is before kickoff, it will be pretty raucous. The support will get right behind the team and try and drag them over the line.
Chris, there's always something when Celtic meet Rangers in the build-up to the game. There's always something catches the attention. There's always had the Michael Beale and Ange Postecoglou lucky stuff, and we had Fashion Sakala saying Rangers were the best team and the other lot. This week, there seems to be some consternation over the word fun.
Yeah,
what you make of all of that? Well, has Philip Clement overblown that? Where do you stand on all of that? I can tell by the fact and where you stand on it, but tell us what you think.
Well, when the Big Phil came in, he's pretty flawless. I mean, he has done an incredible job to get Rangers to this stage, and I get that. What were they, 7 points behind when he came in? And I think he spoke at the weekend, and now they're 3 points behind. But there will be that nagging feeling from him and the Rangers dressing room that they have let this slip, because we've already spoken about Ross County and the Dundee games. Now Celtic have a distinct advantage, but I just sense that Brendan has got under his skin a little bit, whether we're going to have fun comment. And then I think Big Phil said something about that, you know, that wasn't respectful to his team, and he would never say anything like that, and then went and said exactly the same as Brendan said, and they're going to have fun as well. So it's all petty. It's Glasgow. Glasgow is the greatest city in the world at the changing people's persona and personalities. I don't know what it is about you lot up there, but you know, you can sort of turn people and change them. Where Phil was really composed and collected, didn't mention Celtic when he first came in, I think he's been a little bit sucked in, unfortunately for him. But in the end, all this stuff, all the words, Brendan's words, we're going to have fun. Big Phil coming out in response, we're going to have fun. Brendan, earlier on in the season, we're going to see you back here in May. I mean, they can all come to bite you in the backside, can't they? So in the end, I was always one who thought you're probably better to keep your mouth shut and do your talking at the end of the season.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, you talk about Glasgow changing personas. Obviously, sort of, you're such a cheery, chirpy chappy, and then turned into a grump when you go up here. Mick, you're a champion of fun.
That was because of you. Because of me, because of the likes of you,
Mike, you're a champion of fun. What did you make of it all? Did Clement pick that comment up wrongly? Was Brendan Rodgers just talking about the excitement and the fun of the game, or what do you think?
He's either kind of misinterpreted what he said, which it could happen. I mean, I don't. Reynolds didn't mean it like we're going to have a bit of fun, you guys. He said a bit of fun as in the whole.
Come on, Mick. He was mischievous, Mick. Come on.
I think Ren Rodgers is more than capable of dropping little kind of nuggets like that into the public domain. But I don't think this occasion that's what happened. I suspect that Philip Cammon is trying to find ways of getting everything out of this team. But any means necessary. I mean, I don't know if it's a creating some kind of seed mentality or using it as motivation. I mean, we're talking to Graham Souness the other night at the PFA Awards. There's just a great story about Souness coming in after an Old Firm game. And saying to them, I said, I want to thank the editor of the Celtic View for doing my team talk this week. He actually denied saying that. I was like, I can be an urban legend, but it's like the old days of pinning the copy against the wall. So these days, I mean, obviously people reading it online, do you nail an iPad to the wall? I don't know.
Men against boys, Chris. Men against boys.
Is that what Clement's doing? I suspect a bit of that. I think Clement knows this team he's got is flaky, unreliable. It can be decent at times when the pressure's off, but he needs to find something to keep them going to the end of the season, try and get this over the line. So I think he's just grasping at things to use to try and get his team wound up for the weekend. That's what I suspect.
Jesus Christ, Mick. Do you know what? If the Rangers players needed any greater motivation, I don't get that. I actually think one of the most important parts of the game at the weekend is going to be how both sets of players control themselves, because everybody knows what's at stake. So, you know, it's okay being pumped up full of adrenaline, but it's how you control yourself in these games as well. And that could be key.
And does the evidence of this season, Chris, suggest that Celtic are better equipped for that? Because they have been outstanding in all of the three games, I would suggest, certainly for an hour at Ibrox. In the second game.
Yeah, and there is that. I mean, it's been a remarkable season in the respect that, you know, Celtic have had the upper hand against Rangers all season in these games, and everybody says at the start of every season these games are going to be decisive. But if Celtic don't get over the line, then they you know, they are in control at this moment in time, then they are, you know, have themselves to blame, because they've slipped up against, you know, a lot of teams where nobody saw Celtic dropping points against. We've spoken about Hearts, Kilmarnock, there's been Dundee, there's been Motherwell, there's been St Johnstone. There's been so many occasions this season where Celtic have given, they would view as, daft points away. And that's been the problem, not the Rangers games. And now it's about, I think, the game on Saturday, it's about playing their own game, having the control which Celtic did in that first half at Ibrox, but doing it for 90 minutes.
Michael, Chris spoke about the daft points that have been given away and places and in games this season for Celtic. Now, the argument from a Celtic point of view would be it's been very difficult to get their first pick team on the park. All times, there's always been, listen, all teams have to cope with injuries and people being missing, but there's been this feeling that Celtic have been struggling to get a real flow without their main players. Going into this Saturday and also last Saturday is the first time that Brendan Rodgers has probably had everyone available and all of his main players. So if you go through the team for the weekend, we'll go through it from back to front and how you think it'll line up. For you, does it pick itself, bar a couple of places in the attacking wide positions? I would assume defensively, if we start there, Liam Scales obviously got his new contract last week. How do you view that? Will it be the obligatory back four and Joe Hart? Do you see any change there? And how do you view Scales' responsibility alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers?
Right, a lot going on there, Swanee. My God. Take notes there.
What are you thinking of back four? I could have made that.
The back four's the team's picked. I mean, it all depends on the fitness of Dyson Maeda. If Maeda can start the game, he starts the game. I think if he's anywhere near fit, he starts
the game. Team's not picked, Mick. The team isn't big, because we'll have a debate in a second about who's going to play James Forrest and Nicholas Coon.
I don't think that's a debate either. I don't think it's a debate. I think James Forrest has got to start the game.
But you think he's got to start, but I don't think that's as cut and dried as what.
But why not? Why would they not pick James Forrest? The guy's in banging form.
Because Brendan May says he likes Nicholas Coon coming on the inside, driving the inside and causing problems in that respect. I think that you know, that is the one area, if Dyson Maeda is fit, then and how fit, you know, is he? But I do take your point that I think that James Forrest on recent form has to start, but I think that's still a wait and see, that one.
Hang on a second, I'm just clipping that up that sort of agreed with Mick for once.
After telling me I was talking noises and agreed with me.
No, you said it was a done deal.
I think it has to be 100%. If made as fit, it has to be made in. I think it has to be made in Forrest. I mean, Forrest is a man in form. He's got previous in this game. He won't be overawed. He's a man for the big occasion. Nicholas Coon, I think, is one for the future. He's looked good in bits and pieces, but didn't look great in the last game against Rangers.
Brendan said he was the quality which Celtic needed.
Well, not yet. At the moment, I would say James Forrest is the quality Celtic need. It has been the last few weeks. So I'd be stunned if it wasn't Forrest in there. Made as the one, isn't it? If he's fit, it depends on his fitness. He came on, looked lively against Hearts as well. I think Joe Hart said he came on like he'd been shot at a cannon, which I thought was a good little line. we know what Maida does to Rangers. There's a lot made about the fact that James Tavernier would have a sleepless night with him being back. I think it's more the fact that he negates what Tavernier brings to the attacking side of the game. It's not just the fact that he terrorises them by closing them down and forcing them to work harder and quicker. I think it's the fact that he doesn't like to get too far at the pitch because he knows that Maida in our direction is a nuisance and he's got to be careful. So I think that just being in the pitch for Maida is a big deal for Celtic, I think.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Michael, you threw myself and Chris a bit of a curveball this time last year when you suggested leaving Kyogo out for O. I'm assuming that you would not suggest leaving Kyogo out for Adam Eder this week. sorry, Mac, but sorry, I love you. Forget that one.
If it wasn't the last week or so, I think Kyogo on Saturday was back to his usual. So yeah, I think he stays in the team. I wouldn't have a problem with Adam Eder playing up front. I do think Kyogo's movement is good as well. So I think Kyogo will get the nod. I wouldn't be parting. Certainly not O this weekend, that's for sure.
He certainly proved himself against
Rangers. I don't remember saying that.
Oh, you did. Not trying to deny it. Megalit.
Well, yeah, we can get out of the archives if you want, Mick, and let's dip it up again.
Yes, Kyogo has been, I know you're a huge fan, and he's been outstanding in the derby games against Rangers this season. You would assume that he looks back in the mood again and is the type of player who can win the game for Celtic. We all know that.
Yeah, his record in these games. I mean, he had a slightly slow start against Rangers, but once he got into his stride, I mean, the quality of goals he scored against them, you know, winning big games, and it, you know, he's been the decisive player, and it's about Celtic feeding him and getting those midfielders, Atati and O'Reilly, freed up, balls in behind, down the side. So I expect the Rangers centre-halves, whether it's Suter and Balogun or Suter and Ben Davies, they're going to have to be very, very watchful of him. But Eden, no doubt, will come on at some stage and play his part. There is an argument in the first game at Ibrox. Brendan may have been a little bit too late in bringing Adam Eder on because Celtic in that second half, they, you know, really suffered in that they weren't able to get up the pitch as they were in the first half when they played through them. But, you know, the game turned on a couple of things, but maybe, you know, Brendan could have brought him on earlier. But of course, the game turned on the silver dive in the game at Ibrox.
Silver dive in the first game?
Yeah.
Last game, did you say?
The last game, yeah. In the last game of the
Okay. Kyogo, obviously, supply from wide areas is important to him, but having Matt O'Reilly and Rio Atati back in the team, you saw the two goals he scored against Hearts. It wasn't just a lob back into the box by Rio Atati. It wasn't Michael for the first goal. He picked out where Kyogo was, and then Matt O'Reilly's pass was just out of this world for his second goal. And Is that something that he's been missing, having those two in tandem? Obviously, those two having the freedom as well, because Matt O'Reilly hasn't always had the freedom to do that because he's had to be a little bit deeper because Callum McGregor missed some games. Having those three guys in the middle of the park, fit and firing, is that the biggest key to Celtic at the weekend?
Oh, absolutely. I think Hatate, I mean, you're starting to see him now back towards his best. He's a funny one, isn't he? Because back from injury, he's a bit of a slow burner. He's not like a kind of like a Maeder that can just hit the ground running. It needs a few games to get up to speed.
Well, he was outstanding at Livingston when he first came back, in fairness to him.
Yeah, but I think that happened the last time as well. It took him a few games to get back to kind of a level, but he's now at it. I mean, at the weekend he was terrific again. He's he brings something different. A tactic. He doesn't think like a lot of football players. He does things that are unexpected. He takes a ball early. He takes decisions that aren't the expected decisions. It makes him hard to play against. He can improvise a lot with his football, isn't he? I think him being at his best is no coincidence Celtic are back playing again now that he's fit and firing. O'Reilly, I didn't quite get the fact that people were saying he's off the boil. I didn't think he was off the boil at any point, Matt O'Reilly. Maybe not quite as spectacular as he was the first half of the season, but I think he's been pretty much consistent all the way through.
Off the boil a little.
Maybe a tad. I don't think he's been.
And he set himself such a high bar, Michael. Is that the problem?
Yeah, possibly.
But you want to try it.
He's got. I can reach a bar. It's a bit the whole thing I'm good at. He's got a good mentality, isn't he, Matt Riley as well? I mean, that penalty kick at Ibrox. Would you fancy that one, Chris? A wee Panenka at Ibrox?
No, I'd have passed it to Larson to take.
He's handed the ball straight away. what does that say about his mentality? That's brave, that, wasn't it? Now, we spoke about it with him and he said, no, I was always planning on doing that.
Do you think he'll do it again if Celtic get a penalty?
I wouldn't bet. I mean, yes, one that, the one
I took it, you don't. You never repeat the trick, do you?
Oh, the one I took at the weekend was the opposite. I mean, they just slammed it.
Yeah, but against Butland, do you think it's game of bluff, Mick? What would you do?
What would I do? I'd wet my pants and then cry off my dick. I'd be carted away.
That's him just asked to do the man be man.
I'd be making a scene there. I'd be making a terrible scene in front of 6,000 people. So, no, that's what I mean. That's how guys like ourselves, you're obviously been in the game and know what it's about. But those guys think that mentality is incredible to do that in that environment.
Chris, you played in front of an outstanding midfield yourself, but how big are those boys in the middle of the park for Celtic?
Well, I played in midfield, Craig. I don't know whether you covered that period. I played
You can tell I'm in trouble. I got a Craig there. I forgot about his midfield masterclasses. I forgot about that.
Yeah, at Celtic. Disappointed there. Mick would have known that, I'm sure. But no, I mean, I think the point about Celtic not sort of being quite right.
Stop. We've got to hear about your midfield career. Come on, fellas, in. Come on. You can't just drop that. You can't just leave that there.
2004 I can't be the person
who doesn't remember that.
That's okay. 2004 when I won the PFA Player of the Year award, most of that was from the midfield position. Craig, I'm surprised
most
you didn't
of it.
Know that.
Most
I was versatile and played a number of roles, not just a one-trick pony like yourselves and Nick. I'm surprised you've forgotten that season.
You did spell it number 10, didn't you, Chris? Behind.
Well, I've just told you that. I mean, right.
I was only six. How am I going to remember that?
In that playmaker role.
Do you not watch football at six? I used to watch football when I was two. That's the difference. That's probably why I made it and you didn't.
There's a lot more reasons than that.
It was the first target man number 10 I've seen in my life.
That's low from you, mate. It's true, but it's low.
Once you've stopped crowing about your own awards, can you tell us about the current midfield, Chris, please?
Yeah, as I say, had a tatty. I've said this to you before. I think we've written columns on it before. About Hatate's importance to this Celtic team. I always think he adds a different dimension. Mick has already made the point about Matt O'Reilly. His form this season has been excellent in the main. And then getting McGregor, said at the top of the pod, getting McGregor back fully fit with that sharpness of passing, so important. So Celtic couldn't be in a much better place going into this game in terms of their midfield area. The wide player situation at Celtic, we've touched on. That's one where I think that they have lacked the consistency. Hence, we've seen a lot of changes this season in those wide areas. Brendan's chopped and changed. And defensively, Mick made the point, Celtic looked a bit more solid, but they have looked vulnerable in that area at times this season. And we know the reasons for that. Carter Vickers has not played enough, and they've just lacked a bit of consistency in selection and continuity. But overall, Celtic are in a pretty good place. It's about getting the job done. Good performance against Hearts. Now back it up when it really counts. I suppose the only issue from Celtic's perspective is, I think we all think a draw will be enough for Celtic to get over the line and win the title. How do they approach this game? But I do suspect that that they will just play their own way. Brendan will demand that that they have the courage to play out from the back, because I suspect Rangers will get after Celtic really early and press and harry. And it's a case of Celtic being as good as they were at Ibrox in the last game.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Just one from you, Chris, as well, on Joe Hart, please. Obviously, made his decision a few months back, and made it official, made it public. He's played really well the past few weeks. It would appear another big save last weekend against Hearts. Have you been impressed by the way he's carried his way through the remainder of the period since he made his announcement?
Yeah, I've been impressed with him from day one. Big, big gloves to fill. They are next season, whoever is going to fill them. I think there was there was certainly a section of Celtic support who haven't been totally convinced with him. I think it's a really difficult position to play as a Celtic or a Rangers goalkeeper. But I think Joe Hart has been a brilliant signing. Ange Postecoglou brought him in, and I know at times you have a heart attack when the ball goes back to him and he can't get his feet quite sorted. But Celtic didn't just need an excellent goalkeeper. Celtic needed a presence at the back, and I think that he's brought that presence and leadership, which has been vitally important. And going into this game at the weekend, there are two excellent goalkeepers who will be starting the game, because Jack Butland has been pretty phenomenal for Rangers.
Michael, the announcement has been made for the officials for the weekend game. There was a lot made of the fact that John Beaton got the last one, and Willie Collum will be the referee for this Saturday. What did you make of that announcement?
Good luck, Willie. Good luck.
That is all.
It's got back to what Chris said about Glasgow. It dragged into the vortex of madness. I think Willie's a character that will have both sets of fans either claiming conspiracy or whatever. It's a bold decision, I think, to put Willie in there. I mean, even though he's had some problems with Rangers this season, and historically, I mean, they didn't want him to referee them for a while. And obviously, he was involved in the VAR call at Celtic Park in New Year, wasn't he? The Arthur Johnson handball that wasn't a penalty, even though it was offside, and it was never going to be a penalty anyway, but it didn't call offside, and the VAR was retrospectively, I don't know. But that caused a bit of a stress, didn't it?
It's a stushy in your head, doesn't it?
Another confusing stushy. There's going to be an awful lot of pressure on him. But listen, Willie's meant to be our top official, so if anyone can cope with it, it's him. He won't shy away from making big calls, rightly or right or wrong. But you just know there's going to be a storm brewing, isn't there? There's going to be another week-long inquest afterwards, no matter what happens, either side. But he knows what he's doing. He's had big games all his career, Willie, so he should be all right. But we just know what's going to happen. There's going to be something that's going to cause folk to lose their marbles.
Do you think when whoever gets the call for a game like this, a Celtic Rangers game, and that, you know, they get the call and they pick the phone up and they say, yeah, you know, we're going to put you at referee this weekend, Celtic Rangers. Do you think they, you know, get the family in? Brilliant. I'm looking forward to this. Or do you think it goes the other way and they think, oh, shit. Holy shit. Oh, no.
Referees are different breed. I mean, referees don't think like that, don't they?
I don't know. I mean, who would
you not, you not want to play in the top games as a player? So as a referee, would you not want the top game?
No, but I'm just saying what Mick said, you know, absolutely spot on. Do you think though that anybody would really nowadays with what comes with the territory would look forward to refereeing or even being a VAR official? They'll have to make sure they don't nip out for a pee in the sort of VAR hut, won't they? Sort of got to be on it at the weekend.
I would stop Jeff from going on the VAR hut, Chris, and picking up back. You only get 15 minutes of it.
Yeah.
I think they've got commodes at Clydesdale House they can use.
But there is, you know, it is going to be, you've said it, Mick, there's going to be unbelievable scrutiny on this. So I mean, it's, you know, I hope things go well for Willie, and I think is it Stephen McLean running the VAR at the weekend. I mean, I've got to say, the last weekend I was at Ibrox, and what on earth was going on there the first 20 minutes? I mean, there was barely any football. VAR kept getting involved and involved and involved. That's not what it's for, to re-referee. And that, so I hope at the weekend things are different and we just see the football.
Well, this is my fear as well. This game could go on. This could be the first game. It starts at midday and finishes at midnight. It could be one of these games that every decision is going to get poured over and rewound and analysed for endless minutes and hours. So I hope, I mean, listen, see, we've got Willie Colm is the most experienced official in the country.
Did the best in your view, Mick?
Well, maybe not at the moment. Maybe not now. I don't think we've got a big crop of officials. As shown, as none of them are going to the World Cup or the Euro. Sorry. So that says a lot about the current level of our officials, unfortunately. But Willie is one of the most experienced ones. So let him referee the game. Let him make decisions. And like you say, Chris, don't get involved with the VAR unless it's a clear and obvious decision to be changing. But I fear that's not going to be the case. It's going to be a game watched with the remote control going back and forward for about 4 hours, probably.
You flustered them there, Sutty. You flustered them.
I can't afford any good lawyers. That's the problem. It's all right for Chris. He's got a full-time brief.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Too many animals, Mick, to afford lawyers.
It's vet bills.
Yeah.
I heard you talking on the radio the other night. You had seven cats. Have you got seven cats?
Yeah. Why? They haven't brought us any luck yet.
What other animals have we got?
Yeah, we've got dogs and horses. Not good ones, just old ones.
That's not good to me.
Like Clarkson's Farm?
Yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
Any pets?
Me?
Yeah, I feel like we have to do this because most shows that Chris Stewart does, we usually end up getting on to pets or some chat like that. So I feel as though I'm being left out if I don't do it.
I can barely look after myself, let alone an animal.
No, good point. Let's just move on to the game. Michael, how's it going to go on Saturday?
Mayhem. It's going to be mayhem. Two teams that aren't very good at defending. Officials who are going to lose the plot. Players are going wild. I don't even think it's a game. Used to be you think that the first goal is a winner. But I don't think that in this game that's not the case. I actually think Celtic scoring first tends to actually help Rangers for some weird reason. They seem to relax a bit. I think it's the balls and the slates, so they kind of take the foot off and go for it at that point. So like you seen it last time, 2-0 down, game was done. All of a sudden, Rangers play with freedom, and it's happened before. It happened last season. It,
Hamden the game before at Celtic Park.
2-0 down against 10 men, they take the handbrake off. So an early goal doesn't actually seem to change these things. It can happen. So I think there'll be a high scoring affair again. I say I'm still concerned about Celtic at set pieces. I think there'll be goals. So who knows? I think you could see I wouldn't be surprised enough, 2-each or 3-each, which would suit Celtic to get the point. So I would be thinking a score draw wouldn't suit. The only thing is, I think Rangers, there's a kind of wee feeling that Rangers, that it's gone for them. I don't know, because you were there on Sunday, it didn't seem like an atmosphere of a crowd that were going for a title.
I've already said that, but I also don't think there was quite a bit of negativity after the game about Rangers' performance, but do you know what? They got the job done in the end. And going into the fixture, Kilmarnock, it was an awkward fixture. And I know that, you know, sending off had a big bearing on the game. But, it, you know, it's job done. Look forward to the next game. They got a few goals back on Celtic. And who knows, you know, goal difference may eventually come into it. But Rangers know what they have to do. They have to go there and be pretty fearless. And if they, you know, they need to make sure they play with control. So it's just... I'm just not quite sure, and I'm not quite sure. Everything's telling me that Celtic's midfield looks to be coming back to its best, and because of that, I would just err on the Celtic side to win the game. But Mick touched on Celtic from set plays and cross balls, and I'm not, you know, I'm still not convinced, and my head tells me this season Celtic's performances, however good Hearts was for 90 minutes, how many times this season, and I'll throw this back to you, Mick, have Celtic gone back-to-back with really strong performances in consecutive games? I can't think of many.
No, I can't. I can't either. I can't think of back-to-back halves. No, I mean back-to-back games. I mean, they're playing 45-minute spells all this season rather than 90 minutes. But I don't know what you think, Chris. Man for man, I still think Celtic are a better side than Rangers.
Yeah.
I think Celtic at their best against Rangers at their best, Celtic win the game. I think it's about levels and ceilings, isn't it? I think Matt O'Reilly playing at his best is better than anything in the Rangers team. Hattie playing at his best is better. Kyogo, Callum McGregor. But it's all about hitting that ceiling. If they're below that level, then Rangers can match them. If they hit their highest level, but I think if they play their best, Celtic man for man are a better side.
In many respects, the fact is that even the most ardent Celtic support would say that Philip Clement has gone in and got the most out of his group of players. He's
absolutely
every last drop he's got out of them, and it's just, you know, they've had those disappointing weeks, but. For them to be in the title race, and he basically said that, and you know, I do agree with him. For them to be in the title race at this stage, I think he would have taken it. It's just how it's all panned out, where the disappointment from, you know, they're not going to keep harping on about Ross County and Dundee, but they, you know, it's not in their hands anymore. So that would be where the disappointment is. But they've got to put everything into this 90 minutes, and the beauty from their point of view, they know they have to win the game. And that means that they can go for it. I remember, I think I've spoken about it before on this podcast, slightly different scenario, but the same mindset when we beat Ajax away from home in a Champions League qualifier, beat them 3-1, came back to Celtic Park, and we knew we didn't have to win the game. We had to just keep them out. And we were so negative in the way that we played in the first half, and we're trying to hold on. We ended up losing the game 1-0. Second half, we were better after they actually scored the goal. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see how Celtic actually, their mindset, whether they come out to blow Rangers away, but you have to sort of have that balance with your play as well. Where from Rangers' perspective, they know what they have to do. They know they have to win the game. So that may free them up a little bit.
It all promises to be announced. Michael, do you have something else?
I was just going to talk about the man for man stuff as well. If you were doing a combined 11, I like these combined 11s in terms of a Celtic podcast, but who from the Rangers team would get in the Celtic starting 11?
But we're going to go through each position. Now, I mean, I think it's difficult this season. The reason I think it's difficult, because, I mean, the PFA Awards the other night, I noticed you went and spoke to Graeme Souness, couldn't be bothered to come along and speak to me, Mick. I didn't even know you were there. But the fact that Lauren
Shankland,
the fact that Lauren Shankland won the Players Award, and congratulations to him, tells us that performances from Celtic and Rangers, the players there. I know Riley was in the running, Butland and Tavernier, and deservedly so. But that tells you that there's been a lot of players this season who have been not quite at the levels, and I think that's the case with Celtic and Rangers players alike.
So you talk about that, Chris. Just a nice little tale from Northern Ireland. I was actually working at the PFA dinner while you guys were sinking wine and enjoying yourselves. But when I was leaving, I was leaving down the lift. There was there's two couples, and the guy said to his partner, he says, "Do you know who you get a picture taken with there?" And she went, "No." He went, "That was Chris Sutton." So that's when I found out you were actually there.
Do you not remember that fella getting his picture taken with you, Chris?
A big fan. I didn't even know who you were.
That's right.
Well, on that celebrity note, thanks very much, gentlemen. Michael from your Glasgow Palace, thank you very much.
Cheers, boys.
Chris from the award-filled Norfolk Cattery, thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Thanks very much to everyone for listening. Stay tuned to The Record for all the up-to-date news, and we'll be back next week to pour over everything that happened in the derby on Saturday.